It's the Fed Talk Show on Channel Radio. It's the Food Talk Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Christy Ellis here on Channel Radio. Welcome to the Food Talk Show here on Channel Radio with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Christy Ellis. Hello, Christy. How are
you? Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Hey, we had fun yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, we did, didn't we? It was really good.
Yeah, that is the Food Talk crew and our sponsor, Breakthrough Funding. We had a wine tasting yesterday evening.
Oh, wasn't it nice?
It was fabulous, wasn't it?
You didn't try any, did you?
I didn't try any wine because I'm teetotal, but I was there and it was a fabulous evening and really fascinating. It was hosted by a chap called Stuart from Vinorium, who is really, really knowledgeable about his wine, isn't he?
Yeah, and so lovely as well. He's just got a really nice charisma about him, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, he's a really nice fella. And as you say, a really interesting evening. So what was your favourite of the evening, Stuart?
The champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just lovely. I could have drunk much, 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 much more.
Could you? It was interesting, wasn't it? Because he played a trick on the audience as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did with the glasses.
Yeah. He served some very, very expensive white wine. And everybody had a quick slurp and a taste and a sniff and all the rest of it and pronounced it fairly wonderful.
Yeah.
He then produced another white wine in a different glass, and everybody thought it was far superior to the one before.
Well, the first one I didn't like. Right. I thought it was okay, but it wasn't, you know, my favourite. And then the second one, I thought I'd definitely pay a bit of money for that wine.
Yeah.
And it was the same one.
It was the same wine.
I know.
It was incredible, wasn't it? It's just the difference in the glass.
In the glasses and different shapes of the glasses. So the first one he served in a taller, longer glass, like a more traditional wine glass, I'd say, would you?
Yeah. It's not quite a flute, but that kind of, it's a tumbler.
And then the second one he served in more of a bowl-shaped glass, which I would, and I think people on the table as well said the same, I'd normally put a red wine in a glass like that.
I think everybody said the same. And he went, never do that sacrilege.
But it just made a huge difference to the way that the wine tasted.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it? Absolutely unbelievable.
Very expensive glasses, though.
They were
£55 or something.
Yeah, the glasses were 55 quid. And the wine was kind of 75 quid a bottle.
That was a lot of money.
Exactly. But it was a fantastic evening, wasn't it? And
really
Vinorium, Stuart, the chap doing the wine tasting, he's a wine broker as well and sells wine as investments as well as drinkable stuff. But fascinating chap and very, very knowledgeable. But he also, just as an aside, imports some very, very smart olive oil too.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. We had a little shot of olive oil to finish.
He made us actually sip some olive oil.
And it tasted amazing. What did you think of it? I didn't actually speak to you about that.
I did. And I liked it so much that I blagged the free bottle.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you cheeky thing.
I know.
It was peppery, wasn't it?
It was very peppery, yeah.
Like you could just put it, you could have it with a bit of bread dipped in. I like olive oil anyway, but that you could tell that was superior to the stuff in the shop.
Well, Stuart did a big number on me as well when he gave me the bottle of olive oil. He said, do not put balsamic vinegar anywhere near that.
Oh.
It'll ruin it. He said, you just dip straight it or make a salad dressing out of it.
Oh, gorgeous.
But do not mix it with balsamic and dip bread in it because it will be horrible.
Just leave it on its own and dip it in bread.
Exactly, yeah.
Lovely.
Cool. So we're going to talk some more about what we were doing a couple of weeks ago, where Christy, myself and a number of the team spent 2 or 3 days in Olympia at the Exhibition Centre in Kensington in West London at the Allergy and Free Film show, did we not?
We did indeed.
We did. And we met some very interesting people while we were there, didn't we?
We did. We met some fantastic people and did, I think, 25 interviews in total or something like that.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And people queuing around the block to talk to us and tell us all about their wonderful products. And we played a selection last week of those interviews, and we're going to play you some more this week on the show today. But some interesting people. And we've, I think everybody on the show today, I think, Christy, is their products were gluten-free.
Yeah, yeah. They were all from the kind of free-from area of the show, because it's called Allergy and Free-From. And all of the ones that we've got today have got a bit of a common theme, and they're free from gluten. So I've got a couple of facts.
Go for it.
Oh, shall I?
Yeah, go on, tell us.
54% of the visitors had a food-specific allergy or intolerance.
54%?
Yeah.
Blimey, that's high.
But what's really interesting is 25% of visitors don't have an allergy or intolerance, and they just choose to. So I think we came across that quite a bit, didn't we, when we were speaking to some of the guys?
Yeah.
You know, collectively, not necessarily gluten exclusive, visitors spent £41.3 million on their conditions.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we've said this a few times as well. If your product's good enough without the gluten in it, what does it matter? If you see what I mean? It doesn't matter whether you're gluten intolerant or not.
No.
You might as well eat good quality food without gluten in it, because it doesn't do you any harm to not have gluten in it.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're starting to see now is far more gluten-free products that are actually really, really
good quality.
Top quality products. Yeah.
Another sort of percentage that we got from the show rundown was that 52% had celiac disease.
Wow.
Again, that was something that we came across quite a bit. It was often one of the big motivators for the people we spoke to put something out there, because they were having such an awful time as a celiac.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And in fact, that was the motivation behind the very first speaker that we got today, the very first interview we got today, which was the Free From Fairy.
Yeah.
She had her children had massive problems with food allergies.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, should we listen to what she had to say?
Let's
listen to some of these. Christy and I are having a lovely day today, actually, at the Allergy and Free From show.
Yeah.
And here at the Food Talk show on Channel Radio, we have just met someone from Neverland. You are from Neverland, aren't you? Oh, no, she's the Free From fairy. It's Vicky. Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you
so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the Free From Fairy? That's not easy to say either.
It's not. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
So basically, I set up the Free From Fairy 4 years ago to share my gluten and dairy-free recipes online.
Okay.
And that was because I've got a daughter who was diagnosed with celiac disease when she was two.
Okay.
And before that, she was diagnosed with egg and dairy allergies. So I'd been quite used to developing recipes that were free from lots of things.
Yeah.
And so I set the website up to sort of share those recipes.
Okay.
And a consequence of that has basically been that I have come up with the world's first whole grain, gluten and rice-free flour blend.
Blimey.
Which I'm selling here today.
Let's do that again, because that is really worth identifying. So you have the world's first gluten-free, rice-free,
whole grain flour blend. So all the flour blends on the market are either very white refined flours, and they create lovely products, but there's no nutritional value in them. And you know, I want to feed my children and my family with things that have got great nutrition in.
Okay.
So
a lot of other people do as well, don't
they? Yes. So much people are much more health conscious now.
And how did you arrive at this? Where did it come from? Tell us the story.
It came about. I've got a science background, so I love experimenting and I love a challenge.
See, I told you.
So I basically, when I couldn't find anything that I wanted, I went into the kitchen and I bought loads of different gluten-free flours, and I started mixing them together, because gluten-free flours are different from wheat flour in that you can't just take one flour and replace it for wheat flour. They don't work on their own.
Right.
So you need to understand the properties of the different flours and then blend them together to get something that works in all the bakes.
Okay.
So I did that and did lots of experimenting, lots of baking. and I wanted something that I could use in all of my cooking.
Okay.
So,
sorry to interrupt, but I'm fascinated by this process. Did you make some really horrible stuff along the way?
No, I didn't actually. Oh. Interestingly, sorry to say that, I didn't. But because one of the key things for me was to pack as much whole grains in as possible, but also that to develop something that would work in all of my food. So a lot of the blends that I made worked in like bread, or they worked in cakes, but they didn't work in everything.
Right, I get it.
So I wanted something that I could just have one bag of flour in the cupboard, and I would be able to make anything with it.
And that would work.
Yes. So that was the sort of was the point at which I was working towards.
And Vicky, how long did this process take you of experimentation and developing, and before, you know, from when you sat down and thought, do you know what, I'm going to have a go at this, to when you finally thought, do you know what, I've got something that works here?
It's taken 2 years.
Right, okay.
Of a lot of baking.
I was going to say, a lot of baking.
My family are quite happy with that. Yeah, friends are quite happy.
You're all caked out now, aren't you?
Yeah, so 2 years in the making.
2 years, and today is launch day, isn't it?
Today is launch day, yes.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. As a mum, you started this to, you know, help your daughter and her health and her well-being, which is fantastic. You're now on the cusp of a business.
Yes.
Yep. So where are you now in terms of this launch? Is it still an artisan-produced product at the moment, or are you going into full production? You know, are you going to take on the big boys?
Well, everything's ready to go, basically. So I'm really here to just spread the word about it and hopefully get a distributor to take it on.
Yeah.
So the packaging's all designed and ready, and then I found... I source my flours from Shipton Mill, which is in Gloucestershire. It's a really high-quality artisan mill.
Right.
So all my whole grain flours come from there.
Yep.
And then they're shipped up to a gluten-free facility up in near Manchester.
Wow.
And it's packaged there in a gluten-free facility, so it's certified gluten-free.
Yeah.
So basically, it's ready to go when I get the orders in from a big distributor.
Which won't be long, I don't think.
Thankfully.
With a world first.
Yes.
It is fantastic. I just want to reference it. I also do a business show, and so I'm kind of interested in the business side of this.
Yeah.
Although the health side of it and the food side of it and the nutrition side is the really important bit.
Yeah.
But I'm just fascinated as a business as well, because it is a feature now of modern life that we are able to develop products from a kitchen table to a mass-produced product in very short order because of the way that we put things together, collaborate, find different... people that can work with us to do this kind of stuff. So I love that kind of story as well, as a business story, as well as all the other good things in terms of what you're doing. Your daughter's a celiac.
Yeah.
And that's something that's kind of become more prevalent, because a lot of people now believe that they're gluten-free, gluten intolerant or whatever. But celiac disease is a very well-known disease.
Yes.
Thankfully, not a huge amount of people suffer from it.
No, it's one in 100.
Yeah, which is far too many. But
yes.
But do you know if it's on the rise? Are more people being diagnosed with celiac?
I think more people are being picked up. The rate of incidence is one in 100. Mm. That's kind of, you know, what we understand that to be. But more and more people are being diagnosed purely because of people like Celiac UK, who are educating, you know, GPs and individuals about the symptoms and signs to look out for.
And one of the beauties of the kind of products that you're developing, and this the same thing counts for vegetarian food as well. And it's one of my... I'm not a vegetarian, but I have friends that are. And you go to a restaurant and they're offered, you know, one dish or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a bit the same with your kind of product. There's no reason why people that don't have a problem can still eat your product.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say that because, you know, in the UK, we are very focused on wheat products. And people eat wheat a lot. And they sneak into a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which you don't really realise until you have to avoid it.
Yeah.
And I think more and more people are saying they're becoming intolerant to it. And it's quite possibly because we're eating so much of
it. Yeah.
So, you know, there's absolutely nothing to stop people who can eat wheat from using my flour, because actually it just broadens out their nutritional content, you know, in terms of having a varied diet. It's better to get your nutrition from a variety of sources and not rely on just one.
Absolutely. And the reality is there's no reason why at some point in the future it it becomes a norm to have your kind of flour instead of any other kind of flour. Yeah. Why would you need any other kind of flour if your flour works and does the job for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's something that you see more and more, and all power to you, and what a fabulous story.
Really good story.
And today's the day.
Today is the day. It's been a pretty hectic few weeks of getting to this point. I've just published an ebook as well, available on my website.
She's a little bit of an overachiever, this lady, isn't she?
Well, I work late.
Yeah, mum, scientist, food nutritionist, author, businesswoman, blimey. I'm surprised she's not wearing a cape.
Should be.
No, I just use magic, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you're a fairy. Of course you are. Of course you are. Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for coming on and speaking to us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And hopefully we'll go and see your products on all of our shelves.
Yes. Absolutely.
Very soon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Vicky, lovely to meet you. Another young man with us from Freest, Kevin. Good afternoon, Kevin. Welcome to the Food Talk Show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. Why don't you tell us about Freest, which is the name of your company?
Yeah, so Freest, we established it in September 2013. It's an 18-product range of different products of popcorn, chocolate, cookies, jam, wafers,
all the stuff they're waving in front of us. Yeah. You want popcorn? Do you want chocolate?
Yeah. But it is all good. But the difference with us here, sort of stuff, is it's all sugar free or no added sugar.
Right. Okay.
So it is. So you've seen all the sugar, the sort of reputation it's getting with Jamie Oliver and different shows. It's a real hot topic in the press and the media.
Absolutely.
So we came up with this here brand, obviously, to as a substitute so that people can still enjoy real nice treats, but it's a guilt-free treat at the end of the day.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Kevin. I mean, people are now becoming more and more aware of how much sugar is in their food and kind of rebelling against that because we don't want to consume that amount of sugar for no reason, especially in products that it shouldn't be in, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Things that we don't expect it to be in. But you have got things that we do expect sugar to be in because they're nice, sweetie treats.
Yes.
But you've either taken the sugar out or you've lowered the sugar or you've used alternative sweeteners.
Yes, so what we use is sweeteners.
Right.
So in most of our products we have maltitol. So maltitol is a lot stronger than, it's sweeter than sugar, so it is about 500 times, 600 times or so. But it also helps prevent tooth decay, so children can even enjoy it as much as they want.
Don't tell my children that. Yeah. We edit that bit out, please.
It prevents sugar that prevents tooth decay. I'm loving it. Okay.
So your teeth won't fall all night if you eat a lot of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the jams we have sucralose. It's about 700, 800 times the sweet sugar, but it also prevents tooth decay as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So the dentist friend, you can eat dentally friendly popcorn. I'm sitting here looking at a packet of caramel crunch popcorn.
Lovely packaging as well, isn't
it? It is fantastic packaging. I love the packaging. And it's calling to me. It is calling out my name because... It's going, eat me, Paul. Eat me, eat me. Now, you've got some lovely marketing that goes with this. Scrumptious and sugar-free in that order.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cool. And you've bought some products here to show us. You've got white chocolate. Yeah. White chocolate with strawberries, dark chocolate, the caramel crunch popcorn that I mentioned. Did I mention the caramel crunch popcorn?
I think so.
Did I mention the popcorn? Yeah. I think I like the popcorn.
Well, the popcorn is actually very, very good. It actually won a gold award in the Glasner and Irish Awards. So the Glasner and Irish Awards is it's the most consumer-recognised awards in Ireland. And in the snack category, the caramel crunch popcorn that... We had Freest do it.
Wow, okay. Fantastic. That's brilliant stuff. So you've been going 3 years or so. Do you actually produce the food yourself, or are you a distributor, or how does it work?
No, it's mostly produced ourselves.
I'm guessing from your accent that you're based in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Based
okay. And you've been going 3 years, and how are you getting this to the public? Are you wholesaling it? Are you retailing it? How do we buy it?
Over here in Britain, you can buy it in Morrison's and also Holland & Barth.
Right, okay.
So Holland & Barth recently It was online, but they have recently put it out to most of their stores. But also in Ireland, it's widely available everywhere, like Tesco, Super Values, the Centres, Dunn Stores. So it's in most retailers in the north of Ireland and the south of Ireland.
Okay, I've just spotted this hiding behind your laptop. You were trying to keep this away from me, weren't you? This is sugar-free marshmallows.
Okay.
Did you spot that?
I didn't know, because it was hiding behind the laptop.
Christy, you had them hidden. I know you did. You can't fool me.
I won't hear it said.
You were going to pop some of those in your coffee next, I know.
Hot chocolate. Kevin, can we try some?
Yes, what away.
Can we try? Can we try the popcorn?
Yes, try the
popcorn.
Okay. I'm
open to see it for you. Okay. Oh.
Do you smell that?
I can. I'm actually a fan of popcorn.
Dig in.
But also what I should point out about some of the products as well is even though the whole range is primarily based around sugar-free, some of the products are gluten-free as well.
Oh, fantastic.
And dairy-free. So gluten-free products include the marshmallows, the popcorn, the jams and also the chocolates.
Right.
And dairy-free, you're talking the lightly sea-salted popcorn, the sweet and salty popcorn, and the marshmallows and the jam.
So you're making it really accessible for all types of people that are conscious about what they're eating, be it for allergy or for health.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You keep talking, I'm eating. I have to say, look, quite often when you sample sugar-free stuff, it's okay, but you know, you go.
You can get that twang of the sweet.
But the popcorn just tasted like popcorn. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It just tasted like popcorn. It was popcorn.
When we are doing the products and when we're doing a lot of innovation and stuff like that, the main objective of making the products is to get them scrumptious.
Yeah.
Even though they are sugar free, they have to be tasty. People have to like them, and people have to. They have to eat them.
Absolutely. And you've certainly done a job on that.
It makes them really easy to swap, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if you just put that in a bowl and not in the packet and gave it to me, it wouldn't have dawned on me that it was sugar-free or, you know, gluten-free or anything. I would have just assumed it was a bag of popcorn.
Basically, normal stuff.
So, normal stuff.
Job done, isn't
fabulous.
It?
Yes. That's a great job.
So, where can we get them?
Yeah, sorry.
you go.
But I'm interested in this because, really, with a product like that, it means you don't need the other stuff anyway. It's just superfluous.
Yeah.
Because that tastes just as good, if not better, and it hasn't got any of the other rubbish in it that you don't particularly want. So, fantastic. So, sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry, I was being a little bit keen. Where can we buy these? Do we get them online or...?
So you can buy them in Holland Bart and Morrison's in Britain.
That's
in Britain.
Stores, yeah.
Yeah. So and you can get obviously Holland and Bart have their online platform, so you can buy them online there. And then in the north and south of Ireland, that's in most of the major retailers.
Okay.
Over
cool.
there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you
for showing us your fabulous products. I absolutely love the popcorn.
And letting us eat them.
Yeah, that was the important thing. That was the important thing.
So here, right in the middle of the Allergy and Free Film Show at Olympia London, we've had lots and lots of tasters, we've had loads and loads of interesting people come and speak to us, and it's absolutely packed. So we thought we'd have a look at something a little bit different. We've got Lisa here from Honest Eats, which is a really interesting website. And I think you're going to tell us a little bit about it, aren't you, Lisa? Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Nice to meet you.
And you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your website and what it's for and what it does?
It's called honesteats.co.uk.
Okay.
We have put together a range of around 700 products from across Europe and from small producers in the UK who are trying to expand their businesses nationwide. And we've got some gluten-free food, dairy-free food, vegan foods, organic foods. And we've designed the website around people's food choices. So if you are vegan with a peanut allergy or you're both gluten and dairy intolerant, you can actually filter out those products and then you're free to roam around the website and shop happily, knowing that they're not in front of you.
Brilliant idea. Especially, we've spoken to a lot of people, especially at this show, that have not just got one intolerance. They can't just have, they can't have dairy.
That's right.
There's all sorts of things going on, and I don't know if it's got more common or, or what it is, or people just more conscious of it. But a website like yours is brilliant for people that have
got... There's a lot of allergens, intolerances, that kind of thing, but at the end of the day, it's a food choice.
Yes.
Either by necessity or just because you want to.
Yes.
And people's food choices should be respected.
Yeah, of course.
And this is what we've done on the website. We said, right, okay, you don't want to eat this, you don't have to, I'm not going to put it in your face.
Yeah.
You can select that filter, you won't see those products. And you can have multiple food choices, like you say. We're seeing that all the time here at the allergy show.
Yeah.
People are coming up to us, talking to us. They're very, very interested.
Yeah, good.
And I say, go to our website.
Yeah. You know. So where did the idea come from originally?
I think it was just born out of friends and family. A friend of mine, she has a little boy. When he has his playmates round for dinner, she has to respect all their food choices.
Yeah.
And it's more common and prevalent than you think. And people are almost expecting you now to consider their food choices.
You have to be aware, don't you?
You
can't
do.
Just think, you can't just one size fits all won't work anymore.
That's right.
Everyone, like you say, expects you to ask that question.
But at the end of the day, it's about inclusiveness, and we're trying to promote inclusiveness within everywhere, in the home, in the office. So when you take biscuits into the office,
everybody can have one.
That's right.
Great idea. So, if the what do suppliers do if they want to get featured on your site? Do they contact you, or do you filter them yourself?
We launched with 700, almost 700 products.
Yeah,
and that was just 52 days ago.
Wow.
So we're very young, and we do have a huge list of people who have said, "Oh, can you sell our products? Can you sell our products?"
Yeah.
And I would love to sell all of them, but it's just now you sort of we need to pick and choose what. Carefully what we select,
yes,
to make sure we keep the quality that we've already got, and make sure that our customers are going to be happy with the choices that we provide.
Is there an app going to be coming? Is that in the pipeline? Or
and that's on the list too.
Oh, is this a secret?
Oh no, I do have a secret.
No.
It's called HE10.
Okay.
And that's a 10% discount code for all your listeners.
Ooh. Brilliant. And is that to be used at the checkout on your website?
If you go to honesteats.co.uk, when you get to the checkout, you just put in HE10.
That's fantastic. A bonus, isn't it? We weren't expecting that, Brady. Exclusive.
Absolutely.
So they can go to your website. Do you want to just give a shout out for your website one more time?
Please do.
So it's www.honesteats.co.uk.
Absolutely.
Well remembered for me. And how about Twitter? Have you got a Twitter handle?
If you're on the website, it's all down at the bottom of the page.
Click
all
Honest Eats on it.
honesteats.co.uk.
Okay.
Well, we had loads of fun there, didn't we?
We did. I really did have a nice couple of days.
It was. It was. It was really good fun, and there was some fascinating stuff there. the range of things was unbelievable. I walked round and round. I got lost a few times in there. And it's just amazing set of products, because I guess there were lots of different themes going on there, because it was just allergy stuff and then free from
the vegan show,
yeah.
vegetarian,
yeah.
All different kind of dietary choices that people are making. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it was quite busy.
And it was packed, wasn't it? There was a lot of visitors.
A lot of visitors. Saturday there was 13,000.
Wow.
Friday 8,000 and Sunday 12,000. So
Blimey.
That's the kind of split of it. There was loads and loads of people.
Yeah.
That popcorn was nice.
I was just about to say we did demolish that popcorn.
I know. I felt like a bit of a piggy.
Yeah, we did. We did it some serious damage,
because
we were really good with most things, weren't we? People bought things for us to taste, and we gently taste a couple of
all
things.
All the super healthy stuff we were really good with. There's a bit of a theme there, isn't there?
Yeah. And then they had a bag of popcorn, and a pair of us were going, "No, excuse me,
shoveling
excuse
it in."
Absolutely. It was nice though, wasn't it?
It was really nice. You'd never know. It had it was sugar free. You really, really wouldn't know. You could
absolutely.
Swap it easily.
Absolutely. And we did demolish a lot of it.
Yeah, we did. And he did all sorts, didn't he? But his was free from, but with the stuff that you wouldn't normally associate with free from. So
yeah.
I don't know, like the cakes, a bit more sort of the naughty stuff, wasn't it?
It was. It was all sweeties and cakes and snacky things.
Which is my favourite.
Which is great, but I mean, you know, we do need healthy snacks, because we do have a lifestyle now that leads us to snack more and more.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, at least do it with something reasonably healthy.
Yeah, and I think that's what he was saying, wasn't he, about, you know, you, you do have a craving for some caramel popcorn every now and again. So you should
Every couple of hours.
In our case.
Well, certainly me. I scoffed an awful lot of that. And I actually blagged another bag of it as well, which I had on the train on the way home. Yeah.
Oh, your teeth. Must be aching.
I know. It was really good stuff, though, wasn't it? And we had a fabulous time there. So shall we hear from some more people that we spoke to while we were there?
I think we should.
What do you reckon? Yeah, let's go for it, eh? Let's see. Who have we got?
So I'm here for Food Talk at the Allergy and Free From show at Olympia London. And we've just got a couple of very nice visitors to our stand, which is perfect timing around lunchtime. So I've got Mika and Kasia, and they are from Mr. Lee's Noodle Kiosks. Hello.
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 Hi. Welcome. You all right?
How are you?
Good, thank you. They've also come bearing gifts, Brady,
absolutely,
haven't they?
And just looking at these, I wish you could smell exactly what we can smell, because it smells amazing for something that's a dried, you know, products that you've added water to is incredible.
Do you want to just explain what you've got in front of you, Brady?
Yeah, so we've got two kind of pots full of lovely noodles and lots of other things. One is called the Warrior Fighting Shrimp, which you can see lots of pink shrimps in there, whole shrimps, which is a really lovely.
Yeah, and it's not like...
No, not like your average sort of...
Other
noodles are available. And this Penang chicken curry lasca, which is the most beautiful yellow colour, and the aroma is incredible, isn't it?
It smells gorgeous. I cannot wait to have a
chicken. So, yeah. So tell us about these.
Cool. So we are representing Mr. Lee's Noodles. We are a new brand of 100% tasty, 0% nasties, gluten-free noodles in a cup, which is the long way of describing it. We wanted to try and provide a product which could alleviate the need for having products like cup noodles that have added.
Mm-hmm.
So ours, we use rice noodles, which are gluten-free.
Okay.
And comparing to that, we also use ingredients which are the lowest in salt, sugar, fats, and we don't have any artificial colorings, artificial flavors. So our products are, you know, providing the need to eat something like this and not feel guilty afterwards.
Yeah, that's there is that need, because we worked in an office before where there was no microwave.
No.
So I lived off noodle type things or cold salad in November, which was not my favourite, for months.
Yeah.
And having something like this on the market is quite refreshing, isn't it?
That's what we kind of wanted to achieve. But also what is different in our noodles, we use freeze-dried ingredients. There's a big difference between dehydrated ingredients and freeze-dried.
Okay.
So when you dehydrate ingredients, you remove most of the nutritional values from them.
Yeah.
I think it's like 85% more or less you remove. When you freeze-dry them, it's more expensive method, but locks most of the nutritional values.
Yeah. Right.
So that's why that's the main difference between our noodles and the other brand. Because they are on supermarkets, they cannot afford using freeze-dried ingredients.
So they are
using dehydrated ones.
Yeah.
So how much are they going to retail for?
So we will be selling them from digital vending kiosks.
Okay, I've got a picture of one here. So they're a bit like like a normal vending machine, but obviously not normal, because you're going to get some delicious noodles from
them. Yes, it's exactly different experiences. 45 second around vending time. During this time, you will be served with relevant advertising, messages, infographics, videos, something to entertain you, educate you.
Yeah.
And it will be a whole experience. Also in these machines, because our noodles are low in salt and sugar, some people may not find it too bland, for example, because we are used to artificial flavors.
Yes.
You may be able to buy boosters. So,
like some flavor boosts.
Yes. So proteins as well. Maybe even insects. We are thinking maybe some had this kind of thing.
So we had someone yesterday on the show that they're here, Grubbs, I forget their name, but they sell cricket bars.
All right.
And also they sell crickets, like whole crickets.
Yes, so crickets, crickets, mealworms.
Yeah.
But also some different superfoods, soya sauce, chilies, different ways. Yes.
Well, that's a fantastic thing with something like this. It will continue to evolve, won't it? So shall we try some?
I'm
going to go in for these shrimp one first.
Spicy.
Yeah, I love
I've got to try and use the chopsticks. I've got the Penang chicken curry laksa.
So when you eat the vegetables, you'll notice it tastes like a vegetable. It's not like some of the other products that you might have. Mm. And it is because they're freeze-dried. You have that nutrition. You see physical food within the cups, which is important.
I mean, the shrimp one is spicy, but I love that. It tastes really authentic and it's delicious. It's really, really nice.
I'm going to try and get a bit of noodle now because I've just had some.
And they're also gluten-free because we are using rice noodles.
Yeah. No, it's going to appeal to a lot of people who are looking to make a good diet choice, if you like, or healthy eating choice, but also a good alternative to those people who perhaps, like you say, might eat a more traditional, unhealthier kind of cup noodle. So,
especially that they want to target millennials, so our machines will be on universities, military bases, hospital, corporations, so anywhere where people need access 24/7 to food.
Absolutely.
And we have been recently certified with SugarWise certification, so we already have accreditation as low in sugar, so that's obviously is fantastic.
Yeah. The shrimp is fantastic. It's so refreshing to actually taste something that tastes like what it's supposed to be.
Actually, on the pot we say the beef tastes like beef, chicken tastes like chicken, peppers
and
taste like peppers.
That is so true.
That's what we want to
I
achieve.
Love what they say at the bottom. Yeah. Kick-ass hot noodles with shrimp, paprika, chili and seaweed. What a fantastic little description.
And we have no artificial anything ingredients. So, and also two flavours. I have no allergens at all. Mm. So they're completely safe to eat.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, I'm sold on them. So they're going to be sold in the noodle kiosks.
That's it.
And also where in Amazon.
And also Amazon.
Yes, on our website.
That's important.
Yes.
And through your website?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, do you want to give us a little shout out for your website, your Twitter handle?
Yes,
all
yes.
About?
So we are packing next week, so we probably will be available on Amazon end of July or beginning of August. So subscribe to our newsletter. We will announce exactly the dates then, and there will be some kind of giveaways and competition, so and our website is www.mrleesnoodles.com. Twitter, Mr. Lee's Noodles, Facebook, Mr. Lee's Noodles.
I shall definitely be going and looking that up. Will you,
so
Christine?
I love
you. Wow. We're kind of working our way towards the end of the afternoon on the first day here at the Allergy and Free From show.
Yeah.
Christy and I have met a lot of very interesting people, and we've now got someone that is really, really interesting.
Very interesting.
Very
indeed.
Interesting.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Food Talk show Shammy from Eat Grub. Shammy.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Come on in, mate. Tell us what you do.
We're Eat Grub, and we're the edible insect innovators.
Hold on a minute. Edible insect innovators. I'm loving this. That's some kind of tagline, isn't it? Yeah.
So we set up probably around 2 years ago, and what we did was we noticed that actually insects, they are they're eating all around the world, they're eating and enjoyed all around the world. They're tasty, nutritious, and they're sustainable. Yep. It ticks every box, really.
Yep.
And essentially, it's just a marketing challenge on how to bring it to the people in the UK and the West. Yep. So we decided, actually, it's a challenge that we were quite up for, and that's how we began.
Fantastic. Now, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but I'm going to be frivolous for a little while.
Sure.
Because there's a myth that you quite often see perpetuated around the world, that each of us swallow on average about 8 spiders a year or so. Yeah, yeah. It's a complete myth.
It is a myth.
Yeah, yeah. But you're not talking about spiders, are you?
No. I mean, we've got a range of insects, but actually at the moment we've just released our Eat Grub bar, which uses cricket powder. So I think probably crickets are our most popular and our most used insect.
Okay. So we're going to talk about this, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but I have actually eaten crickets. Just crickets, not cricket powder, just crickets, roasted crickets. And I did a radio show a few years ago where somebody came along with some roasted crickets, and they put a bowl of them in front of me and said, eat one of those. And I thought, are you sure? Anyway, I tried one, and by the time we'd finished the interview, I'd emptied the bowl.
Really?
Yeah, really. I ate the lot.
I mean, they genuinely are delicious.
And
actually, we do a roasted range ourselves, which we haven't got here.
Yeah.
But we've got roasted crickets in salt and vinegar, chili and lime, and an English herb, rosemary and thyme. So it might actually, well, you know, might have been our crickets that you were eating, you know, a couple of years ago.
I mean, for me, the unflavoured ones, which were just roasted crickets, tasted like nuts, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Shami, I don't know if you know about this, but I was told that a lot of the commercial cricket production actually goes to food manufacturers that use crickets in products that normally have nuts in to avoid nut allergies. Are you familiar with that?
No, I hadn't heard that.
And apparently in some parts of the world it's a big thing. You know, there are commercial cricket farms and they do use it for, you know, to avoid nut allergies because it tastes like nuts. Yeah. But you've got a range of flavoured crickets.
Yeah.
But you also produce these bars, which we've got a couple of examples here. But how did you get into this?
So I used to work for an international charity, WaterAid, and I was doing marketing for them. I was marketing manager, and as part of my job, I got to travel to the countries in where we were working. So I went to countries and in the communities, I went to see places where they just got clean water and places where we hadn't started working. So I used to compare and contrast the stories.
Yeah.
And one of the trips took me to Malawi, and at the beginning of the rainy season, as soon as the first raindrops hit, termites come out of their mound and start flying. The kids were going crazy catching it, and I just thought it looked like a fun game until later on in the evening where it was served to me on a plate, you know, seasoned with a bit of chili and lime and a local beer. So that was the first time I tried them, actually. And then I started reading about the nutrition and the sustainability, and again, as I said, you know, like it ticks so many boxes. Essentially what it is just how to get people over that they're kind of the apprehension, the perception of eating insects here in the UK.
It is a difficult thing, isn't it? Because it's not culturally what we're used to doing. As you say, in vast other parts of the world, crickets and locusts and termites are part of the daily diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we actually really like to use it, and maybe we overuse it. Here's the example of sushi. 15 years ago, eating raw fish was culturally unacceptable, and it didn't take off here in the UK.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, it's a high street institution. You see it next to the sandwiches in Tesco's.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perception thing more than anything else.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I just want to kind of look very briefly at the nutritional value of things like crickets.
Sure.
Because they're high in protein.
Yeah, very high.
And low cost, basically. And environmentally low cost as well.
Yeah.
For the protein that it produces. Yeah. You don't need vast... You know, if you're going to grow cows or sheep, you need vast amounts of land and vast amounts of environmental damage, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, crickets are 69% protein, so... Mm. When you compare that to something like chicken or beef, it's unbelievably high. Yeah. Chicken or beef tends to be around 20 to 30%.
Right.
They're really high in minerals like iron and calcium. Mm-hmm. And also they have essential amino acids like omega-3 and omega-6. So in terms of their nutritional profile, they really are a superfood. But as well as that, they are extremely sustainable. So as you were saying, they require a fraction of the land, water and feed that our traditional livestock use. So they're a much more environmentally friendly source of protein.
Right, so I want to move on now.
Sure.
So you were in Malawi, you watched the kids catching flying termites, you had a bit of a meal and a couple of beers, and you kind of chilled a bit and thought, do you know what, this could be all right. So where did you go from there? What took you from Malawi and those couple of beers to producing these kind of food bars?
Yeah, so actually we started a couple of years ago now, and we first launched by doing pop-up restaurants, and we were doing our pop-up restaurants in London, mostly in East London, and we thought it was a really good way of launching, getting the press and the public to try our food, because genuinely we thought insects taste really good, and I think it's all about getting people to try it, because the most powerful marketing tool that we have is word of mouth. It's you trying the food and saying, actually, that tastes bloody good.
Yeah.
And then telling friends and telling family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's word of mouth. So what we wanted is we wanted people to try our food.
Yeah.
So we started by that. And then after that, we realized, actually, there is a demand for the products. And then we went from that to our different ingredients, you know, like the raw ingredients, the roasted range. And now finally, we've released the energy bar made with cricket powder.
You've got two bars that you bought for us here, which is coconut and cacao. And cranberry and orange. So you figured, right, we're going to come back to the UK, we're going to start making food using this natural resource. Where'd you get your crickets?
So at the moment we're getting our crickets from Holland, but we're actually starting to farm them here in the UK ourselves.
Yeah.
I think when we're talking about sustainability, it makes sense for it to be local.
Yeah.
So we use cricket powder because I guess it's a bit more accessible. So, you know, like it's one thing eating whole insects, and a lot of people will buy into the nutritional elements, but actually for them to eat the whole insects is quite a big step. So what we feel is actually these bars, they make it a lot more accessible. They make it a lot easier for people to actually get the nutritional benefits without actually seeing the insects.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of got it in little letters at the bottom, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think we're hiding it.
Yeah,
I don't think we're hiding it, but we're not, you know, we're not.
No,
and
not
also,
blotting.
I guess, you know, on the bars, we've got the graphics, but again, it's a bit more subtle.
Yeah, yeah. And that's quite right, too, because you've minimised the squeamishness of it, if you like.
I don't think it does us any favours, you know.
Shami, where are you now in the process? How long have you been doing this?
So we've been doing it for a couple of years, but we just launched our Eat Club bars this week, so it coincides really nicely with this show.
Right.
And we actually launched in partnership with The Economist, and they've got 10,000 bars which are co-branded with their logo on it, and they're giving it out in their street activities and events.
Right, okay.
And we're going to be stocked in Planet Organic, a whole host of independent stores. We're speaking to Ocado and Boots, and obviously you can get it online as well.
Right, okay.
Great. So, can I try some?
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Which one shall I have?
Whichever flavour you, you know,
feels to you more. I think I fancy cranberry and orange.
You go for it. So, while Chris is opening it up, how can we find these? Do you wholesale these? Do you retail these?
Yeah, so we've got a number of wholesalers. You can get in touch with us, and we can put you in touch with our wholesalers. As I mentioned, we're being stocked in Planet Organic, and they're great supporters of what we're doing. We're in a number of independents, but you can find us online at eatgrub.co.uk.
Fantastic. So
what
do you think?
Really nice, yeah.
Yeah, looks good. Certainly looks good. Are you liking it?
I do.
Give us
really
a bit.
Orangey.
Well, it's got a nice consistency.
I mean, obviously, the whole idea, again, as I said, you know, it's like you've got to make sure that the food tastes good.
Yeah.
You know, like if you want people to come back and tell people about it, then number one, the food has to taste good.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah,
good. Really nice. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
No, Shami, that was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for that. And we wish you the best of luck with eatgrub.co.uk and your cricket powder bars.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Thank you. Cheers. Oh, there was some interesting stuff there, was there not?
There was the cricket bars. I'd never eaten crickets. I wasn't a seasoned bug eater like you. And I really liked them. You couldn't really taste any cricket in them, I don't think, but...
It's interesting, isn't it? As you say, I first ate crickets a couple of years ago. And I was also blagged into eating some other stuff, which wasn't quite in the same vein. I was eating mealworms, which were okay, and scorpions, would you believe?
And how are they?
Crunchy.
Crunchy, yeah, crunchy. I imagine that.
fairly tasteless. But crickets are not tasteless. Crickets are really nice food stuff. It's just Western sensibilities that prevent you doing that. But what Shami was doing there was making powder out of the crickets and making protein bars and what have you.
Yeah, it's so a good sense of, like, it's something that's sustainable, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's an extra protein and... Yeah,
you know, unless he told you, you would never know you were eating
crickets.
You wouldn't have a clue. Whereas me, when I ate crickets, they were cricket-shaped crickets with their legs and everything, and they were just roasted.
I want some, though. I want to try them.
Yeah,
I think
we
should have, like, a bug special one week.
Well, funnily enough, there's a lad called Ben Bartlett from Medway that has a bug company.
And let's get him in.
Yeah, he also does novelty bugs.
Oh yeah,
they're embedded in lollipops.
Oh,
so you got crickets and scorpions and things, and beetles.
Give them to my kids.
Yeah, yeah, and he also does a licensed bush tucker trial kit.
Oh, brilliant!
You get the idea.
I really enjoyed as well that we just listened to that. You didn't try these, did you? Lee's noodles.
No, I wanted to talk to you about that because I like a noodle, me.
Yeah, these were fabulous. They really were nice. I'm not a huge fan of potted noodles normally.
Pot noodles.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The student pot
potted noodles. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them. They taste a little bit artificial, but Mr. Lee's noodles really didn't.
Right.
I sound like I'm doing... they haven't paid me for this. the vegetables in them are all freeze-dried. And they, when the water gets on them, they just taste like they've been cut up 5 minutes ago.
So they reconstitute themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And same with I had the shrimp flavoured one. And the shrimps taste like you could chew them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes when you get stuff like that...
I'm getting the idea. Well, funnily enough... while we were listening to the interviews there, Christy popped out and she said, oh, we've actually got some of the noodles still in the cupboard. And she came back and said, we haven't actually. We've only got one pot left. Mm-hmm. And she's brought the pot in and I've got the pot here in front of me because I didn't see any of these, unfortunately, because I wasn't at that interview, which is a real shame. They kept me away from it because they know I like a noodle. and Mr. Lee's noodles are very well packaged, aren't they?
Yeah, lovely.
And this one is Shaolin Monk vegetables. So it's the reason that it's the one left in the cupboard, presumably, because it's the vegetarian one. Yeah. But I was reading the back of it as well, and I really like how they've packaged this. It says 100% tasty, 0% nasty, gluten-free, yes, really, nothing artificial, we are for real, 100% recyclable, green and guilt-free, and how noodles should be. You bet your taste buds they are.
Yeah.
And that's really clever packaging.
It's fun, isn't it?
Really nice.
The other thing about them is they're going to sell them in vending machines.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can just go to a vending machine and buy. I mean, I suppose you can get soups out of vending machines, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Why not noodles, I suppose?
Yeah, exactly. So do you know how it's going to work when they put them in the vending machine? Do you vend the cup and then put hot water in it, or are they going to vend them ready?
If you look on the back, there's instructions, and it says if you're going to have them at home, you do it one way, which is the way we had it when we were at the show. Just
here we go. Yeah, shall I read it? Yeah. Oh, thanks for that.
That's all right.
I was not nicely told off there. It was just this, read the instructions, Paul.
You just read the front, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. You're a typical bloke. You never read the instructions. Absolutely. So it's got, as Christy says, there's two sets of instructions, whether you're at home or whether the pot has been vended. And it says, if you're at home, you add boiling water up to the ridgeline, stir, replace the lid, wait 3 minutes, just enough time to check your Instagram account and eat and be at one with the universe, is what it says on the back. And then if you've got a vended pot, it says open, stir and replace lid, leave for 2 minutes, eat and be at one with the universe.
It's a bold claim, isn't it?
It is a bold claim.
At one with the universe.
Absolutely. So fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
No, and really nicely packaged. And guess what?
What?
I've just had a tweet from them.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. Mr. Lee's Noodles, Food Talk Show, Paul and Christy, we're happy that you're enjoying our noodles. Enjoy. And they've sent a little gif of a pussycat eating noodles.
Oh, it looks a little bit like you, actually.
Do you think? What? Bald and fat?
No.
So, well, thank you for that, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you for your tweet and your interesting gif. Do have a look at that. Good stuff. So lots of interesting stuff there. We had a great time at the Free From and Allergy and Free From show.
Yeah, I love doing I love taking the radio to those places, to different shows. It just you just meet some really interesting people, but it's the buzz about it as well. It feels a bit lively and, yeah, I really enjoy it. And we've got another one coming up, haven't we?
We have. So where are we next then, Christy?
Next time, we're at Speciality in Fine Foods, which is back at the Olympia in London. And it's in the beginning of September, so the 4th to the 6th of September. Mm. And I'm looking forward to that one. I think we've been really good at the Allergy and Free From. We've had lots of healthy, delicious snacks and treats. And I think this one's going to be all about a bit of luxury.
Yeah. So what do you think? I've not been to this show before.
No,
so it's going to be interesting to see what's on offer there. I'm sure. we'll talk about that in a moment. So what's the name of the show again?
So it's Speciality and Fine Food Show.
Speciality and Fine Food.
Yep.
So Speciality, we're going to like kangaroo and ostrich steaks and all that kind of stuff.
Stuff that's a little bit, you won't find it on Tesco's shelves, maybe.
Weird.
Yeah.
not so much specialty as weird.
Rare.
Rare.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Okay, I like that. And fine food, so lobsters and things like that. Interesting. I think somebody actually even mentioned it on a show recently. On the east coast of America in the 17th, 18th century, there was actually a riot by prisoners in a prison in Boston complaining that all they ever got to eat was lobster.
Oh, the inhumanity of it.
Exactly. The lobsters were just so plentiful. It was considered a rubbish food.
Same as oysters in London. I don't know what era of history it was, but they were a peasant's food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the oyster pies and things.
Exactly. And it shows you just how things change and
full circle, yeah.
And move around and stuff like that. So in the fine food, we're probably looking at caviar and lobster and and a few things like that. So it could be good. When is it again?
4th to the 6th of September.
Okay.
I think the 4th might be a Sunday.
Right.
And then running through to the Tuesday. But I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Like I say, I really enjoy going taking the show out.
Yeah, I mean, what we do is we have a pop-up radio station there, and we go and interview lots of the exhibitors and occasionally talk to the visitors at shows and things like that. And it's one of the things we enjoy doing, because we get out and we get to speak to more people and we get to hear from more people and we get to interview more people about the lovely, fine and wonderful foods that are being produced.
And eat.
And the big benefit is we get to eat loads of stuff for nothing. Yeah.
And I think we've got another one coming up. I don't know when. I haven't got the dates for this one, but I'm sure someone will let me know. We're going to go to Takeaway Innovation, which for some reason I just think that's right up your alley.
Takeaway Innovation?
Yeah.
Kebab special? Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I've got the feeling you like a kebab or two, don't you?
I do. I go through phases of really eating really horrible food.
Yeah.
And by horrible, I mean just junk food and stuff like that. And so, you know, Zaffa, I'm not complaining about your your kebabs. They're lovely kebabs. If anybody's ever visiting Tenterton, my hometown, the kebab van by the toilets, by the wreck, is where you get the best. No, seriously.
By the toilets, okay.
Yeah. Well, nice. It's the only place with electricity.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Takeaway will be fun, won't it? Takeaway Expo?
Yeah, so I'm interested in that. But, and again, to see what's new and what people are up to. Because the big thing at the moment is everybody's working really hard to make really good quality food again, aren't they?
Yes.
So one of the things, being serious for a moment, which I'm not normally prone to do, but being serious for a moment, one of the things I'd like to see is a movement to takeaway foods becoming more healthy, becoming more nutritious, becoming better produced and less salt, less sugar, less calories and that kind of thing.
I'm sure it's coming. I mean, one of the guests we had on a moment ago, the sugar-free popcorn and things like that, it has to be coming. It's getting so much more popular. People are more conscious about what they're eating.
Exactly.
And I enjoy a takeaway. Like, I'm sure loads of people do. So why not make it a little bit healthier?
Absolutely. So anyone out there that is thinking about getting into the food technology business, there's a challenge for you.
Yeah.
You know, let's start looking at healthier takeaways. I read a report this morning, actually, another health report, but this one was really adamant. It said, we're not messing about with this anymore. This is true. It's absolutely true. You can't overturn it. The best diet to have is a Mediterranean diet. So that's olive oil, nuts, seeds,
salads,
but fresh vegetables and things like that. And it's a fairly tasty food. Mm-hmm. So my immediate thought was, I wonder when someone's going to open a chain supplying takeaway Mediterranean food.
There's one in Stratford, isn't there?
Is there?
What's it called? Is Olive or something like that?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. They do take out or take away.
Yeah.
But because I was shopping. Not that I do that often.
As you do. Shoes and shoes and handbag, that kind of thing.
And I had a kebab, but it was healthy. No, I had a Greek salad as well. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Shame. I had a kebab and a Greek salad. And it was just like Cyprus, which is where my mum lives, so
fantastic.
Yeah, nice.
Well, good stuff. So we're looking out for that. Anyway, we've kind of reached the end of the show now.
Aww.
For another week. So thank you so much for listening to us on the Food Talk Show. Do join us again next Thursday at 4 o'clock. But in the meantime, we'll say goodbye and see you next week.
Bye-bye.